Hello and welcome to the Sunday service from Christchurch Selly Park in Birmingham. A warm welcome to you all, both those who are members of our congregation or those who are just visitors online. It's good to have you with us, and I'm only sad that I can't greet you in person. I'm Martin, and in a moment my wife Dillis will be bringing us our readings, which are from Matthew's Gospel. And after that, Alan is going to be talking about those passages. Following that, Phil Ennis is going to be saying prayers for us. Have you ever had one of those moments when you feel God is trying to tell you something? I felt a bit like that when I was told about today's theme. We're starting a new series on the Sermon on the Mount, which is a series linked to this book, which is called The Good and Beautiful Life. And it's written by James Brian Smith. I was lent a copy to help me know what I was introducing. And that's when I began to get that feeling that God was trying to teach me something. It turned out that I needed to learn the answer to the question, what is the gospel of Jesus? You're going to get a bit of a book review now. I had been reading Paul, a biography, which is by Tom Wright. And in it, he says, I assumed without question, until at least my 30s, that the whole point of Christianity was for people to go to heaven when they died. Hymns, prayers, and sermons, including the first few hundred of my own sermons, all pointed this way. That did rather make me sit up and listen. It was challenging what I thought I already knew. In my early 20s, when going around the parish to talk to people about the gospel, we were trained to use the question, have you reached the point in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die tonight, you would go to heaven? Was Tom Wright saying that this was all wrong? No. He was saying that the emphasis was all wrong. Christianity, as taught by Jesus and by Paul, isn't all about what happens to us when we die. This is what Tom Wright later on says. The early Christians didn't focus much attention on the question of what happened to people immediately after they died. They seldom spoke about it at all. They were much more concerned with the kingdom of God, which was something that was happening and would ultimately happen completely on earth, as in heaven. And then this book arrived from church. And what should I read in that? But if I had been asked fresh out of seminary, what is the gospel of Jesus? I would have said without hesitation, Jesus died for our sins so that we can go to heaven when we die. And then he goes on and says, what I later discovered was that there is even more good news. The essential truths have radically changed my life. I learned that this gospel is incomplete. I came to realize, thanks to some gifted teachers, that the gospel Jesus preached included even more than being loved, forgiven, reconciled, and given a new identity. I failed to know for over 10 years of my Christian life that the gospel also includes an invitation to a great adventure, which I have come to know as living in the kingdom of God. So, I am excited to hear what Alan's got to say to us today. I'm excited about what God has got to teach me through this sermon series. So in that spirit of excitement, let's pray now. Father God, thank you for the good news you taught us in the words of your beloved Son. Thank you that in him the kingdom of heaven touched this world. Teach me more today about what it means to live in your kingdom. Let me hear your words afresh through the Bible and through Alan's words so that I may live fully the abundant life you promised me. And I pray this through Christ your Son and my Lord. Amen.
Our readings today are taken from Matthew's Gospel. The first one introduces the Sermon on the Mount, and the second one is at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. So we'll start from Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And the second reading is from chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hi everyone. How are you doing as lockdown restrictions are gradually lifted? I'm really excited because by the time you get to watch this, I'll have had my hair cut at the barber's. How brilliant and amazing is that? Many years ago, when we were students, Kathy, my wife, she was my girlfriend then, and two other friends, went away with the University Hiking Club for a weekend hiking on the North Yorkshire Moors. Now, on the Sunday afternoon, we went walking on top of the moors, and for some reason, I don't know how, we got separated from the rest of the group. So there we were, on top of the moors, on a Sunday afternoon. It was pouring with rain, and the mist came down. We were lost, and we were scared. So what did we do? Well, our kind of instinct, our kind of senses told us to go in this direction. But we did have with us a compass, and the compass told us to go in a different direction. So we had an important choice to make, which one to follow. What would you have done? Well, fortunately, we chose to follow the compass, and it led us eventually safely to the town of Gisborough, where we even found a laundrette where we could take off some of our clothes, get them dry, before meeting the rest of the group and getting the bus back to Manchester. Now, as followers of Jesus and members of his kingdom, what do we choose to lead us in the right direction? Our intuition, our sense, our feelings, or the compass that he's given to us? Now, early on in his ministry, Jesus preached what many regard as the greatest sermon ever. It's recorded in Matthew chapters 5 to 7 and called the Sermon on the Mount. It may have been one sermon, may have been a collection of sermons that Matthew put together. That doesn't really matter. But this sermon is going to be our topic for the coming weeks on the Sunday morning reflections. We had the introduction and the summary read to us. And the central theme of this sermon is the theme that is the central theme to most of Jesus' sermons, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. It says in Matthew 4, verse 17, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" Now, when we hear the word repent, we often think of rebuke, shape up, sort your life out. But actually, the word means to change your mind. And Jesus is inviting his listeners to change their mind, to choose to live a different way, to choose to live in a way that follows him and seeks to put him first. In Matthew 4, verse 23, it says, "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom." The news of the kingdom is good news. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explains what this good news looks like. He paints a picture of life for the citizens of the kingdom, those who've put their trust in him and want to live with him as their king. And this sermon's like a compass. Following it will guide us in the right way, will lead us to safety and freedom. And we'll also see to a life of greater contentment, generosity and purpose. A life of less worry, anger, pride, greed and lust. All topics we'll be exploring in the coming weeks, along with how to treat those we find difficult and how not to be so quick to judge other people. I'd like to encourage us to see this sermon as a God-given compass. And I guarantee it's the best way to live. And as we'll see next week, it's a life that's open to all, to anyone. In the words of the book by James Brian Smith, it is the good and beautiful life. And in the coming weeks, we're going to try and unpack this sermon using this book, The Good and Beautiful Life, as a resource. The book has chapters on the different topics we'll be looking at and also practical exercises that we can do to reinforce the teaching and to help us grow more like Jesus. Why not splash out and buy a copy? And I want to emphasise, as he does in his book, that the life Jesus offers is the best. Now, some people today will try and tell you, if you become a Christian, life's boring, it's restrictive, don't do that. Obeying Jesus' commands is not a good idea. We want to be free, don't we, to do what we want to do, to live life our way and to wander off into the rain and mist. Let me read you a couple of quotes from the book. "Living according to Jesus' teachings leads to a good life, a life that can withstand the storms and trials we all face. Disobeying his teachings leads to a life of ruin. Jesus is not making life more difficult, but is revealing that the way to the good and beautiful life is to obey his teachings. The question is not, what will I have to give up to follow Jesus, but rather, what will I never get to experience if I choose not to follow him? The answer is clear. We will forfeit the chance to live a good and beautiful life." I sometimes wonder what would have happened to the four of us if we'd not chosen to follow the compass, but gone what we thought might be the right direction. At the very least, I think Mountain Rescue would have been called, but it could have been much worse. And as we look at Matthew 5 to chapters 5 to 7, let me encourage you to fully engage, to read it for yourself, to do those exercises, and most of all, to seek to live as Jesus teaches. Not just on the surface, but deep in our inner beings, that we might change from the inside. Now, the warm-up exercise in the book is interesting. He suggests we find some time to play, something Kathy's enjoyed during lockdown. Now, I've not got the time to fully explain, but just to say that play is good for us. It's an act of self-abandonment when we stop taking ourselves so seriously and simply enjoy life. And Jesus said to enter the kingdom, we have to be like a child. A child shows trust and expectation and isn't worried what others think of them as they explore the world. Our Heavenly Father loves it when we let go of all those grown-up burdens and concerns and enjoy the present. And as adults, we've often forgotten how to play, or we're too self-conscious or scared. So in the coming weeks, maybe Jesus is inviting us to join him in an adventure of faith, to experience the good and beautiful life and the joys of being a child safe in his kingdom. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, the multitudes gathered together on the hillside in Galilee so long ago to hear your word. Although we are physically separated, we have come together in spirit to hear your word and to bring the joys and concerns of our lives to you. Lord, hear our prayer. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Our spirit can be poor in so many ways. We lift up those who struggle with addiction, with mental illness, with physical illness, violence, oppression, and fear. We pray for freedom from these struggles, for us and ourselves, for those we know and love, and for those known only to you. Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. There are many things we mourn in this life: loss due to death, loss of health, of jobs, of relationships. These losses are very real and difficult, and we find comfort knowing that you also wept and mourned loss in your life. We thank you for your promise of a peace that passes all understanding. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Lord, we pray for humility and grace as we live our lives. Our inheritance comes through you, who overcame the powers of earth, so that we may be with you in both life and death. We give thanks for your promise that we shall share in your inheritance. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Jesus, you told us that when we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, then the things we need will be provided. Help us to trust in your words, that when we seek you, you will provide. Give us the courage to stand up to injustice, even when we are afraid. We look forward to that day when justice will flow like rivers and righteousness like a never-ending stream. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Help us to let go of our pride, so that we may find reconciliation in our relationships. Help us to see those we see as other, the homeless, the immigrant, the violent, the foreigner, as a brother and sister, your beloved child. Be merciful to us as we are merciful to others. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We know that the human heart is deceitful, Lord, so how will any of us see you? Help us to lay down the pride, greed, envy, anger, and lust in our hearts. Make our hearts pure and give us a vision of your glory. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Violence seems to rule the world. We pray not only for the absence of conflict, but for true peace, when weapons become instruments to tend crops and harvest trees, and there shall be no more war. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Most of us do not know about persecution, especially for righteousness' sake. May we be aware of those who do suffer and even die as they stand up for justice, liberation, peace and basic human rights. Shield them from danger as they proclaim your word. Strengthen us so that we may be willing to stand up for what we know is true. Risen Lord, we are able to trust in your promises because nothing can separate us from your love. We claim your promises to us today as we choose to live as you lived, loving mercy, acting justly, and walking humbly before our God. We now join our voices to pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you for leading us in our prayers. And Alan, thank you for your words to us before that. And thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us on our journey. Thank you for joining us in our adventure of faith, as Alan called it. Let's close by praying. Lord Jesus, thank you for what I've heard today. Thank you for teaching me. In the coming days, bless me with your Holy Spirit, that through him I may live the blessed, joyful, complete life that you have for me. May I live in your kingdom today, tomorrow, and throughout this week. May I allow you to answer through me my prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. I ask this in the name of Christ, who died that I might truly live. Amen.